And this is it. My story is a long story, but a very,
Inspiring.
very, very, very nice story because I live for this job. Every minute I have an idea. I want to write a book. I want to write a paper. As all of us. It's our, yesterday I was asking Ossan for the, what are your hobbies? And he said to me, running past day, I think running past day, I live for this. This is our hobby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Rhino Pastors podcast with me, Dr. Cameron McIntosh. As season three is unique in face-to-face interactions, we find ourselves in Belgium, in Brussels, at the European Rhino Pastors course, and I have the absolute pleasure of having the co-director of the course, all the way from Italy, Dario Bottesi, speaking with me today on the podcast. Dario, thank you so much for being
My pleasure, Cameron. Nice to meet you here again, and very happy to be part of this podcast.
So Dario, we're sitting here now, it's June in Brussels, but in a few months' time, there's a big meeting in Verona. Do you want to tell our listeners about that?
Oh yeah, that is great. This will be like the European Academy Facial Plastic Surgery meeting. And this meeting will be a huge event because we have already more than 200 people from the faculty, which will be coming from all around the world, from United States, from South Africa, from Asia, from all the countries, in order to bring the people to see all the different perspectives in not only in rhinoplasty, but also in facelift, also in blepharoplasty, and a little part also will be dedicated also to the non-surgical procedures.
Yeah. Now, Dario, this is your first rodeo, right? And you were telling me that as a student, you were already organizing meetings.
Yeah, that was a great opportunity for myself. I had a chance to take two residencies. The first one was maxillofacial surgery, and the second was otolaryngology. But the first one, at the third year, my wife got the idea to say to me, let's make a translation of the Gene Tardy book, The Art and Science, right? So I wrote him and I went to Chicago in 1999. And I said to Gene Tardy, Gene, I think I will never be like as big as you are now. You have plenty of patients and you are starting 7 a.m. with all these people talking about rhinoplasty, all the giants, you know, like everybody was there and it was a great meeting. And he said to me, come with me, please, tonight at 7. We have a cocktail for the faculty dinner and to tell you something. And I went there and he went to every and each one of the people there. He went to Gilbert Ayash, he went to Gilbert Dostonite, he went to everybody. He said, I want you in Verona. And we made the best meeting ever in rhinoplasty. Yes, it was 1999 in Chicago and then 2000 in Verona. And then I translated this book, which was a success in Italy because it's a great opportunity to start the basics of rhinoplasty until the more sophisticated techniques.
Wow, so 25 years later, you have been meeting with 200 faculty. So for the listeners, tell us a little bit more about you, Darius. Where do you come from? How did you end up doing what you do?
Yeah, this is a strange story. You know, as usual for people, there is something in the background. But if you don't have a past, you don't have a future, you know, they say. So my past was really falling in love with the general surgery. And I was, as a student, working so hard in general surgery because my idea was to get into the field of small bowel transplantation or liver transplantation. And I was at the University of Padua, which celebrated this year 800 years of opening. It's a very old university. And by chance, I got in contact with a guy, which was my mentor, which was Professor Fernando, which got me in the theater, like when I was almost finished as a student of medicine in medical school in maxillofacial surgery. So I got in love with the fact that you can reshape the face by cutting the bones, enlarge them, move them, shift them. And I wanted to balance the faces, which is something that still intrigued me because all the facial aesthetics comes from the support of the bones. Even the aging process is so interesting to me. And by the time he was interested in rhinoplasty, he was making closed rhinoplasty. So I started my career with a closed rhinoplasty and minute by minute, I got involved with this field and eventually expanded to the face state and all the other procedures, so the most surgical stuff, of course. Because I wanted to understand a little bit more of the physiology, because there was no science and no surgical treatments. So I published almost 40 papers for these companies in order to get a little bit more science behind that. And from that time, I moved to a second specialty, which was the ENT. And I became consultant, then an associate professor, and then full professor. And then this is my life at the University of Verona, where I perform like congenital abnormalities, rhinoplasties, and then moving around the world, I train people in different fields. And this is it. My story is a long story, but a very, very, very nice story, because I live for this job. Every minute I have an idea, I want to write a book, I want to write a paper, as all of us.
Yes.
It's our, yesterday I was asking Ossan for the, what are your hobbies? And he said to me, rhinoplasty, I think rhinoplasty, I live for this.
Yeah.
This is our hobby.
Yeah, sure. So this upsurge of neuromodulators and fillers, where do you think that fits into the world of rhinoplasty?
Oh, that fits very well. By chance, I'm making a very interesting study now, because there is a concept of myomodulation that is related particularly to the fillers, because there is a guy whose name is Richard de Maio. He's coming from Brazil.
Yes.
He's a global speaker for a company, and he claims that there is such a kind of mind modulation on the muscles of the face, if you inject below or above them, hyaluronic acid. And in regards to the nose, we are making actually two research studies. One is on the aesthetics of the nose, and they're related to the injection of the very algebraic filler.
Yeah.
Combined with the toxin, because we know that the depressor septi nasi and the levator aliquis nasi and are muscles that can be very well influenced, not only by the botulinum toxin, which is the question you were mentioning, but also by the filler. Because if you inject a specific amount on the levator aliquis, there will be an increase in breathing capabilities of patients, but also a decrease of the power of levator aliquis, so the unbalanced noses that you can see in some patients will be very well manipulated, because it lasts almost 1 year and a half. So if you repeat these injections, it will be okay. And the second study we are doing is to open the nasal valve with a cannula injection of a specific amount of filler in order to get the proper breathing function for some of our patients. So there is, you know, at the beginning, my first paper for a company was to contrast these fillers. I didn't like the idea of injecting fillers in the face.
Yes.
And by chance, I got in love with this, because I saw that there was a little bit of a change in hyalase, hyaluronidase level in the blood of patients related to the circadian cycle. And so I said, I had to find out a little bit of more science, because you see that if you go in the meetings of these big meetings, huge meetings, 15,000 people of medical aesthetics, everybody is claiming something, but they have no science behind it. So the company are pushing forward everyone to do this. People, gynecologists, dentists, and whatever, and all, they all claim that they can get the best result. Even people with no residency, nothing. In some countries, there are nurses that can do that professionally, for sure, but there must be a proper training for these people, because it's not a very easy procedure, particularly on the nose, because you can get blindness if you inject it in wrong places. So that's my idea. So I have a little bit of time dedicated to the non-surgical procedures. By the way, I wrote two books about that. One is surgical around breast, and one is on the full face reshaping related to anatomy, because I think there must be a little bit of a science.
Absolutely. So, Dario, two questions. In terms of those books, how would the listeners be able to get hold of it? Do you have a website or something?
I didn't put on the website. They are edited by Taylor Francis, so you can find it easily on Amazon.
Okay. And then coming back to the Verona meeting, for people to be able to come and get training in this? Is it one of the things that's going to be offered?
Yeah, this must be very well underlined, that the European Academy is an academy that is giving a service to the, particularly to the young doctors. So let's say that the more experienced doctor, since a long time, started this academy in order to spontaneously deliver knowledge. Because every one of us has his own training courses and everything related to our business activities. But in particular, once a year, we decide to deliver science to the young generations, which is, to me, the core idea of creating future generations with people that are able to make the best notes in the patients. So, particularly related to the meeting, it's a four-day meeting, so it's a very intensive, let's say, meeting that starts from 7 a.m., finish at 6:30 with very interesting activities outside of the meeting, because Verona is an amazing town with lots of history and then the surroundings. You can go to the mountains, hiking, you go to Venice, you can go to Milan. But before this meeting, we decided to make three wet labs. There are four wet labs in 2 days, because we have a big facility with the red floors where you can get the proper training for facelifts. There will be Andrew Giacomo, there will be the McCordon, there will be GT, there will be many people from around the world coming to train us in facelifts. But then there will be rhinoplasty, there will be me, you, and many others that are here at the meeting. Then non-surgical treatments, and then blepharoplasty. This is the wet lab. And the last day is Sunday 17, and the day after we will have 8 live surgeries recorded for the European Academy. There will be 2 facelifts, 4 rhinoplasty, 1 lip lift, and 1 blepharoplasty.
Wow.
So that will be an intensive event where people can spend some time before the event, let's say in 2 or 3 days, which is the weekend before, to get an idea of what is the environment of the Veneto region, which is the one most beautiful in Italy. We have wine tasting areas, we have biking areas. Lake is 10 minutes, just 10 minutes. You can kitesurf, you can do whatever on the sports. You can hike in the best mountains ever, in the Dolomites. So I want to intrigue you all to come to Verona meeting, because everybody says to me, where is the best place in life you want to live?
Yeah.
And I can really sincerely tell you that I say always Verona, Montana. It's not mental because I was born in Venice, but I have to admit that it's like a very small town. It's 500,000 people, but it has everything linked to that.
Yeah, well, guys, you better make sure you register and come to Verona. I think it's going to be amazing. Okay, I've got one last question I wanted to ask you. Had a fascinating chat with Alvin. So Alvin D'Souza, the current president of YAFX, about a study he's been doing in his deviated gnosis of injecting botulism toxin straight at the end of his surgery. What do you think about it?
I think it's the smartest idea ever, because being a maxillofacial surgeon, you know, we do bimaxillary surgery, and we discovered that by injecting the internal pterygoids muscle and the external pterygoids and the masseter, there is less possibility, less chance of recurrence, which is like for the people that have open bite deformities, for example, where the contraction of the muscle after the surgery can give them a little bit of relapse, and it's much more difficult to control it because you have to follow up with the orthodontics and stuff like that. So this is smart to me, because the contraction of the muscles that I was mentioning before can give the opportunity to the nose to heal in an proper way.
Mm.
So this is something that we have to take into account, because like 2 or 4 units of botulinum toxin, whatever the toxin, it depends if it's on a botulinum toxin, then there will be also the new thing is that there is a company that will make a toxin that lasts 15 days. This would be perfect for
us. Wow, that'll be cool. That'll be cool.
Because it gives the patient to get the opportunity to see themselves in the face. So many people are scared to make the freeze aspect. So with 15 days, it's gone. And then you can make the other one that lasts 6 months, for example.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
So this is a good idea. I love it.
That's fantastic.
Yes, Dory, I'm excited, man. It's so nice to chat to you. See how excited you are. Nose geek, man.
And look, I just finished the 2 books and then we have 4 books in process.
That's a really exciting life
that we have. We love this. We are passionate and I can see, and I have my passions. I love photography, I love traveling, I love sports, as you, as yourself. But doing this surgery and give people the chance to understand your experience is the best way to leave a memory in this world.
Awesome. Well, on behalf of everybody around the world listening to your podcast, thank you very much.
My great
and God bless.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Make sure you tune in for next week's episode.